Inside on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Insight Advertising, Marketing, and Communications, a full-service ad agency, InsightCubed.com, and the elite training team at Tarot International. Achieve, lead, outclass at Tarot.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. With us in studio is Maureen Berger. We're going to be talking about serving on a panel of all things. Maureen serves as an impact trainer, outcome-driven sales trainer, as well as an executive coach to panels prepping for presentations. And, you know, lots of us get into that world. Maureen, welcome to the Business News Hour. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too, Michael.
On video and everything, right?
Yes. Thank you for having me.
It's quite all right. This is really going to be an interesting discussion because I think there's a lot of people that are asked to be on a panel, but they may not have a whole lot of experience as what to do. I mean, do you sit there? Do you twiddle your thumbs? What do? Do you talk over the next person? So we're going to get into all those things, I think, right?
Sure. There's a lot of considerations surrounding when you're part of being a panel and in presenting.
Yeah. When panels are seated, and I've seen, as a matter of fact, my good friend, Kevin Cooney, is doing a panel, a monthly panel. It's called Wonks. He and Dennis Goldford from Drake University are doing this political thing over at Noche. And they've got like 8 or 10 people on the panel.
Okay.
That's pretty large, isn't it?
That's pretty big, yes.
Usually I see 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Is that normal?
5 to 6, 3 to 4. They can range any size.
Got it. All right. So oftentimes we're asked to present whatever we're asked to present. How is it different in presenting as a solo act, if you will, before a group or an audience versus being on a panel?
There are several considerations when you're going solo versus being on a panel. One of the first ones is making sure that, well, there's a couple different considerations. One of the first ones is the effects of primacy and recency. You want to make sure that you have somebody who's opening and closing up the panel discussion for the group. People are going to remember what they hear first what they hear last more than anything else. So you want to consider having someone opening and closing. Very different than if you're a solo, you're doing everything and in between. The other consideration is that you want to make sure that your message that's being delivered is seamless and cohesive. So that's going to take some prep time. And when you work together with other groups to make sure that everything is working together.
And when you're sitting on a panel, or I have not seen many panels stand, but if you're sitting on a panel, the whole body language thing changes a bit too, doesn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. One thing that we would recommend at Tarot is that when it is your turn to present, that you actually do stand up. You can be much more persuasive and more effective in standing versus when you're seated. However, if you are seated, there's a couple considerations. When you are part of a panel, even when you're not speaking and you're seated, you're still on.
Sure.
You're still part of that panel.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people think, well, I'm done. Woo. I can relax a little bit. You really cannot. You're still on. And so you need to present yourself as if you're still on, even when seated. When presenting seated, we sometimes present in other situations where we're seated, not even just in a panel. And so we want to make sure that our body language is also being taken into consideration, that we're also not, that we're sitting up straight in our chairs, that we're gesturing, maybe that we're hitting people next to us, but we're still gesturing nonetheless. And then also that we are not playing with any of the things that might be in front of us.
Yeah. Like, you can take notes, I'm sure, right?
Oh, sure. Of course you can take notes.
But, you know, messing around with the microphone cord is a little distracting, right?
Can be a little distracting. Or maybe if you're with in front of a table or maybe in front of a lectern, no pens, the pen that you're taking notes with.
Click, click.
Clicky pen. Make sure you use it and set it down.
How do you hand off? You know, if you're in a panel discussion and you're going from person to person and the question is really based for all three people on the panel, after you're finished with your answer, whatever that answer might be, how's the best way to hand it off to the next person that's speaking?
Well, if the question has been answered, then there wouldn't necessarily be a handoff. However, maybe the question has been posed to you, but it has a couple other facets to it that might impact somebody else that's on the panel. The best way to hand that off would be to, you want to amplify what that question is to the next person, because they might be on a little mental vacation. And so you don't want to catch them. Yeah, that does happen. But we don't want to catch them off guard. And we want to maintain their credibility and our own credibility as well. So when we're passing off, it might be something along the lines of giving my response. And then it might be something like, Michael, what are your thoughts on? and then presenting the question in a different kind of wrapping it up so that you're not caught off guard when I'm presenting the question to you.
And that really shows a whole lot of professionalism on your part and will be seen by the audience as something that goes, wow, there's a wow moment.
Yes.
You're really trying to help your other panelists get through this.
Most definitely.
What are some serious no-nos not to do when you're in a panel discussion?
One thing that, I don't know if it's necessarily serious, but one thing is when you're passing off maybe the presentation from one presenter to the next, so you've given maybe your 5 to 10, 15-minute presentation, now it's the next person, rather than saying, well, I want to bring Michael up, it's his turn now, really dignifying who that person is and presenting it to, I'm sure several of you, like giving a question or opening it up before bringing that person up, I'm sure maybe several of you were questioning, how are we going to fund this new proposal? I would like to bring Michael up, and he's going to talk about the financial implications of this new proposal that we're presenting. Michael, and then hand off if it's possible, maybe Michael's seated or you're seated and I'm standing. Wait for you to come up, give a nice firm handshake, and then sit down.
So in other words, what you're doing is you're dignifying each one of the presenters. And that's so much more important than just offhanding them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to look as if you are working together as a team, not against each other.
How can you go ahead? I mean, we all have notes, or we're making notes. Mm-hmm. We're making these, setting down perhaps what the former speaker just said so that we might be able to reflect back on that. How do you get to read your notes or be with your notes and still engage with the audience?
Very important. Now, there is an important consideration to have because we want to make sure that we're engaging with the audience. And one of the best ways to do that is through our eye contact. We do need our notes. We have to refer to them periodically. The big thing is that to not talk to your notes. Take a look at your notes, look down, and then find a set of eyes. Or if you're looking at an audience, maybe looking out into the audience, you may be able to see a face. There might be lights on you. But look out into the audience and then begin speaking. The most important thing is just don't talk to your notes.
We're talking with Maureen Berger, ladies and gentlemen, talking about the opportunity that perhaps you have had in the past, or maybe you're one of the people who are organizing a panel discussion, and how important it is to be able to know what you're doing, and both from a presenter as well as an organizer. When organizing a panel discussion, are there any set rules about who should sit where? Let's say it's a panel discussion. There's four people of different levels in the organization, for example. Mm-hmm. Is there a seating arrangement?
Not necessarily a seating arrangement. I would probably most likely recommend that you would have the most senior person maybe sitting first. Whoever's opening the presentation, though, should probably really sit in the first and maybe go in order, your seating of the order of who's presenting. And then, again, the closing, whoever's closing, they're going to obviously be sitting at the front, so it doesn't really matter. But you want to make sure that there is some order in that regard, just more so of who's speaking next, so it's not kind of bouncing around.
Let's talk about the planning of one of these things. Mm. So if you are the corporate person that's putting on a panel discussion, or you are the meeting planner that's doing something for a group of business executives who have flown into Tampa for some kind of an event, what kinds of prior planning are really necessary to make not only the presenters feel more at ease, but also the audience?
Well, there's definitely a couple things with that. Doing run-throughs of your presentation to make sure that the message that's being delivered is a cohesive one. And then also that you're practicing those handoffs between presenters and the opening, making sure that opening is strong and powerful, setting up for whoever you're presenting to, that they understand where you're going, and then that they have a very strong close as well. So those are some real important factors to consider during your planning, but also in just running through the presentation to make sure, again, that it does have that cohesive feel.
What about, we've been talking about a friendly panel, so to speak. I mean,
sure.
Okay, I suspect that we've been talking about a friendly panel. These people are all going to be giving a presentation in their own way on a certain specific topic, and they're all sort of enjoined in that idea. Mm-hmm. What happens if that panel is more adversarial? Are there still some tools that you can utilize to make yourself not look as much of a jerk?
Michael, that's a very important question because, again, you want to maintain your dignity and the other person's dignity, whether you agree with what they're going to say or not. So, again, just utilizing those handoffs of making sure that you may have some considerations. You may not agree with what I just said. Maybe you want to have questions about whatever, this other topic that might be up. I would like to invite up Michael. And even if I may not agree with you, maybe we are adversaries, it's still maintaining my dignity and respecting yours as well.
You know, one of the things you said earlier, and I need to underscore this because this is so vitally important. When you're all, if you are on a panel discussion, I was just recently part of a panel discussion, and there were, I don't know, 7-8 people in the panel. And not if you're on the panel and you're in front of 300 people, you are always on.
Yes.
Scowling and making faces and rolling your eyes and do those kinds of things are probably not
most
a good
definitely
idea.
You are always on, and even though someone else might be speaking, someone might be looking at you.
Right.
And so you are on, so you do want to consider your facial expressions, your body language. You want to maintain that as if the audience were looking at you the entire time. So I think the facial expression, the scowling, rolling of the eyes when someone says something you may not agree with, those are all very important factors that you want to consider
as well.
Yeah,
it's interesting. During this particular panel discussion, a number of people came up to me and they said, who is the angry old guy sitting next to you? so that really is.
Yes.
I mean, that has an impact on the audience.
Sure.
And they can get those kinds of vibes from you. What about some tips for – I mean, if you're speaking as a solo – it's pretty easy to field questions, you know, and how you start that question and answer thing. What about fielding questions in a panel? Who goes first? I mean, if the moderator, for example, says, okay, we're going to take questions in this order, that gets kind of easy.
Mm-hmm.
But what if it's divergent issues or divergent views on the same thing, but friendly? How do you field those questions? How do you go about getting them, Maureen?
So you're going to open the floor up for questions, and you're going to ask, you know, what questions do you have, or if the moderator is opening up for questions. We want people to have questions. They're asking the questions. You respond, and we know that maybe there's another facet to it. Before, this is also part of your planning that you talk about with other people on the panel as to if questions come up in regards to this, who's going to field those questions. You can discuss that then. But if you also know maybe you've handled it, but maybe you haven't answered it completely, you then want to volley it to the next person. So maybe it's Michael. But again, it's not doing that blind. Michael, what do you have to say about this?
Right.
It's again, Michael, what thoughts do you have on the impact of and what it is that you had just talked about?
And that shows a great deal of professionalism, I think, for everybody that's involved in this. We're having a discussion with Maureen Berger, ladies and gentlemen, about tips when you are selected for or you are planning a panel discussion, perhaps at your next conference or trade show or whatever it happens to be. As an impact trainer, and we introduced you as an impact trainer.
Yes.
What does that mean at Tarot?
The impact training that we do at Tarot is the impact that you have when you are presenting to individuals, whether it's one-on-one or in a group. We have a course that we teach called Impact, How to Speak Your Way to Success, and that is what impact you can have and maybe not have. I mean, you can kind of take away from some of the impact that you have as well or have a negative impact. So how to have the best impact that you can have during your presentations.
And having that great impact goes a long way to selling whatever idea that you have, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. You've seen good ideas get implemented, and then you've seen bad ideas or good ideas not get implemented, but bad ideas get implemented. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's the ability of the presenter to have the impact to get either a bad idea through or the inability to have an impact of getting a good idea through.
Yeah, and it is so important because you don't get a second chance at a lot of these things.
Some usually don't.
How quickly do people make up their impression on whoever and whatever you are? What does it take?
It takes about 8 seconds.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. People will make an assessment of you within the first 8 seconds.
Wow.
Yes.
And can that, if you're on a panel discussion, if you're presenting solo, whatever it happens to be, can you win back confidence if you start out lousy?
I believe that you can, but you better switch it up very quickly because you have that 8 seconds to really engage.
People, right?
If you lose them, it's going to be really hard to get them back. But so if maybe that first 8 seconds you did it, but maybe now you're going to change it up, keep it that way then.
You're also an executive coach with Tarot International. What kinds of things do you like teaching the most? What are those issues that you really get going on?
I really enjoy working with people on presentation skills and presenting themselves effectively.
Yeah, and that's so important. And for those of you who are listening to this or watching the video right now, you know, one of the things that you really have to be able to understand is how important that presentation is, using the correct words, the mm-hmm. verbiage. What about that? What about using the correct words and verbiage if you are speaking to – you don't want to be too highbrow, do you?
Well, you have to consider who your audience
right.
is. If your audience is maybe more highbrow, you're going to want to have a little more of a formal language usage. But you also want to speak to your audience. If you are going in and you're talking to a group of people that may not be so highbrow and you're speaking it that way, they may not receive you the same way that you want to be received.
Do words matter?
Words definitely matter.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Sure.
And you can utilize the same different words to mean the same thing, but depending on the word usage,
mm-hmm.
You know, if, for example, if I am here to assuage your pain, that can be said in another way. I'm here to ease your pain. Depending
sure.
on who the audience is how you utilize those words, right?
Most definitely.
Yeah, good stuff. Always interesting when Tarot International comes through, Maureen, to talk about cool things like this. It always gets our juices flowing and always positive things. Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us here.
All right. It is Tarot International. We will have, by the way, links to Tarot International and their Impact program up on our radio blog once all of this is done. Good stuff. And you see that the video was cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, she says, as she's going, why was I the target of this anyway? All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll check out what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you this, it was a good day if you are an investor, if you're, well, comfortably wealthy. More on that when we come back.
You're looking kind of lonely, girl. Would you like someone new to talk to? Oh, yeah, all right. I'm feeling kind of lonely, too, if you don't mind. Can I sit down here beside you?